It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. This email says, Rick, about the listener party, are you going to have the poop phone on display at the... display at the listener party?
We will.
If so, I hope you wash it. I did. I power wash it. I hella wash it.
And you put it in the dishwasher, didn't you?
I gave it a good power washing at home with, like, you know, the spray thing on the hose. And then I ran it through, like the washing machine thing, and then I ran it through the dishwasher. So it's been cleaned, like 50 different times. So there you go. So that will be on display. Rick Emerson Listener Party 10, which is coming up Thursday, April 19th, 2 weeks from yesterday. Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. at Barracuda. Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. Barracuda. Rick Emerson Listener Party 10, which is called Emerson History X, on display. We will have George, the human skull from upstairs. We'll have the mystery sound. We'll have that phone. We'll have a litany and a whole series of photographs of the history of this program. We have a bunch of memorabilia that we've all been digging out of our respective basements. Special surprise guests and announcements and so forth. All of that coming up, plus the mellifluous sounds of the Emerson Starship Band, which will be opening, closing, and Hit Me Baby, who will be doing a Hard Rock Britney Spears set about halfway through. So that's all coming up Thursday, April 19th. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now from the South our good friend CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy joining us now. Hello, Ed. How are you?
Rick, how are you today?
My friend, I am rolling. How's life down where it's warm and pleasant?
I'm at the Masters, and it's warming up just a little bit today, but it's going to be really cold for the weekend by spring standards here.
Here's some stuff I don't know. Now, the Masters is golf, right?
Yes.
Here's the thing. Do you remember that time that you were on and you discussed Daytona or Indy? Or it was a bunch of guys driving in a circle. It was some race thing that you were going to. And we had our friend Dennis Pitzenbarger help you out because you weren't really fluent in the language of professional race car driving.
Yeah, that's right. I had a little tutorial, didn't I?
Yeah, that's kind of what this is. I have been told that many people are interested in this so-called Masters thing that's happening this weekend. I don't really know what it is or why anybody cares about it. So what I'm going to do is yield the spotlight to you for a few moments, and you can enlighten us, Ed, and then at the end, I will nod sagely and pretend that I understand it all.
I see. Well, actually, it's really the most prestigious golf tournament. Of course, it's one of the majors on the professional golf tour. But Augusta, you know, has such a legend to it, attached to it. Bobby Jones used to play here, one of the famous golfers from years ago, and just really a terrific layout. TV does not do it justice. It's an absolutely gorgeous place with the azaleas in bloom and the magnolias, and just really very, very pretty course and very difficult course as well, as a lot of the players are over par here, a majority of them, because the weather conditions have kind of made it a little bit difficult. It's starting to speed the greens up now, so some of the players are having a little bit of difficulty. But it's really just a wonderful tournament and a wonderful place to be.
The great thing about it is, as you're speaking, you have the golf voice that you're putting on. You're actually doing that. Well, Rick, I'm here.
I'm actually here in the press building, which... I'm on the broadcast row area here, so I'm trying to, you know, we've got everybody yakking at once all the time, so that's why I kind of sit back a little bit, throw the headphones on, and I can talk with you. This is the least amount of pressure I've had all week.
You do sound unusually mellow and relaxed, as though you've been hoisting many mint juleps.
No, as a matter of fact, probably because of the nature of this, you're under such deadline pressure with live shots to... You know, and get the updates and everything else. I'm always very comfortable on your show, and this is a relaxing moment for me.
Well, I'm glad we could be part of your relaxation. We'll send somebody by. So we'll send somebody by to give you a rub down later. All right, Ed McCarthy, my friend. Enjoy the Masters. Enjoy your weekend. We will have speaks with you soon.
Absolutely, Rick. Take care.
Thank you, Ed. There you go. There's Ed McCarthy. I was going to ask him about the CNN shooting, but I didn't want to harsh his mellow. He sounded like he was all in a smooth groove. Hey, Mike.
You did a good job of pretending.
My computer's just, it's just turned off. It's all just, listen to this. I would like now, ladies and gentlemen, please to enjoy the sound of my computer doing nothing. There you go. It's the sound of futility is what that is. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you all for coming by. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program from our sister station, Rock 101 KUFO. Across the hall, our good friends, Court and Fatboy.
Hello.
Hi there. Hi.
Court is all decked out in KUFO apparel.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what happens when you do a remote. You gotta wear the colors.
Oh, that's right. Now, well, before we do it, so let's just get the pimping done straight away here.
Yeah.
Just do the, we'll do the cross-promotional reach around right here at the very beginning.
Okay.
So you guys do the midnight movie, which is now at 11 o'clock.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it hadn't been a live broadcast in the past. It's just been you there, you know, whatever, just drinking, and then your audience, your crazed bunch of lunatics comes out and watches a movie.
Exactly. Well, it's because our times got shifted around a little bit. We're now on from 7 to midnight, and so
I heard anything about that.
It makes it very difficult for us to be at the midnight movie if we're supposed to be doing a broadcast. So we've decided to go ahead and combine the two, do the broadcast and the movie at the same time, so we're going to be broadcasting live from the Baghdad.
Now, are you going to be broadcasting live?
Yeah, where are you going to be?
How does that work, exactly?
What we're going to do is, you know how the Baghdad, it's situated on 37th and Hawthorne, and those front windows are facing Hawthorne. What we're going to do is basically, in front of the box office, facing Hawthorne, we're just going to set up a table and just sit there and do our show.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get a chance to watch the actual movie?
No, we'll be able to watch the movie. The magic of computers.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
The last hour of our show is very music intensive, so it's just basically this is what played, this is what's going to play.
Yeah.
And then we'll let that play while we run in there and watch Hunter S. Thompson do his thing.
Fantastic. Oh, that's right. It's Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Exactly.
It's what, like $3 or something?
$3 to get in. Of course, there's massive amounts of beer, so you need to be a little twisted to watch Fear and Loathing.
I will say this up front. I will not be there tonight.
Oh.
I have got something to do anyway. And I just Fear and Loathing, that movie, watching somebody else's acid trip just wears on me after a while. It's like everybody, and I love Hunter Thompson, I really do, and I love Johnny Depp, but after like 35 minutes, it just starts to freak me out. And by the time we get to that sequence where Benicio del Toro's in the bathtub with all the cut-up grapefruits or whatever, and I'm just like, I gotta get out of here! I remember watching that movie in the theater, Fear and Loathing, and I just felt so terrified and claustrophobic, and totally, going in totally straight, totally sober.
Yeah. I'll say that was your problem.
By the end of that scene, I was just like, I have to leave this theater, I cannot be here.
Well, that's the genius of this movie, is that if you are somebody who's scared of drugs, you don't want to do drugs...
Go see this movie
because A, it will make you never want to do drugs, and B, you'll feel like you're on drugs.
Seriously, this and the Requiem for a Dream back to back.
Wait, was that a pun on Requiem for a Dream?
No.
What? Okay.
That's not back to back.
There's a scene in the movie. I'm sorry. It's an interesting choice of words. I'm sorry. Actually, I just watched that with my girlfriend this weekend.
Yeah. What they didn't have in the company of men.
We were bored. Well, she had watched Schindler's List the weekend before, so we were like,
oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Let's move on to more modern depression.
It's just a series of ups with you.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent.
Well, actually, we followed it up with like the first half of Seven, and then we fell asleep.
Nothing but razor blades right there.
Nothing but happiness at your place.
We played Wii bowling the next morning. It was fun.
Jesus, yeah. God almighty. All right, well, there you go.
There it is. So, yes, come out 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And get there early because we're going to be there at 7 o'clock. So, hang out and drink.
All right. Fantastic. All right, so, okay, let's talk now. Let's talk about this Transformers thing.
Yeah.
You and I talked about this yesterday. So, here's what happened. So, I walked by your guys' office yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget how we even got into some discussion. I don't even know how it came up.
Yeah.
But we got into some discussion about the Transformers.
Mm.
Which is going to suck. And you...
Actually, that's how it started, because you just poked your head in our door and said, by the way, the Transformers is going
to
suck.
I don't even know if that's how it started, but I've been saying that to everybody with ears, because it's going to be a terrible film.
Well, and I don't disagree. I think I'm not looking forward to it. I don't think it's going to be a great movie.
Are you
going
to pay to see it?
Probably not, no.
All right.
No.
Now, but you made this observation. Your claim is that it's going to make a ton of money.
It's going to make a brickload, a massive metric ton of money.
And you're basing that on what?
I'm basing that on the fact it's got the July 4th weekend, so it's going to be 5 days that it's out there when all the kids are out of school anyway. And the problem with previous Michael Bay movies that haven't worked too well at the box office is that he's trying to add depth. That's where he fails. When he tries to add an element aside from boom, explosion, whee! Bang, bang. Any elements beyond that, he can't handle. He doesn't know how to make them work. This movie, he has chosen a movie where the concept, the bar is set so low already. He can only go up. Who's looking for drama? Who's looking for pathos? Who's looking for any sort of depth in a movie where giant outer space robots turn into trucks and beat each other up?
That's a fair point.
So, and then if you get Michael Bay added to that as well, just the pure spectacle of it. He's got Spielberg producing the thing. So Spielberg's kind of over his shoulder whispering at him how to make the shots look a little more Spielbergian before you put them in a blender and spin them on puree for the next 2 hours.
Last good Michael Bay film?
The Rock.
Yeah, The Rock.
Really?
The Rock.
Yeah.
You got to go that far back, I think.
Yeah, and that was like a decade ago.
Yes, it was.
I was on Salt Lake when that came out.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, I mean, but I mean, the guy's milieu is basically loud car chases where everything within a 5 mile radius explodes because of the car chase. This movie is going to be a giant car chase where the cars turn into robots and punch each other.
Well, and the other reason why this is going to be good on the opening weekend is because since it is around the 4th of July, you're not going to have the time. A lot of people aren't going to be, you know, getting on the internet and stuff like that and have the time to let everybody else know how much
so
it sucks.
So you don't think the viral word of "God damn, this movie sucks"?
No.
Well, you don't think there'll be time for people to warn their neighbors?
It will, but it'll be the week after.
Yeah, see, I'm also basing it on last summer when Pirates of the Caribbean 2 came out.
Yeah.
Word was horrible on that film, and it made like over $400 million domestically.
Yeah. Everything,
didn't it?
That's the other thing, is everything. The freaking Fantastic Four made like $200 and something. They're making and they're making a sequel to that.
Yeah.
And everybody knew that was bad before it even opened in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Scotty, just a side note, can you go in the rack room, please, and restart my computer, PC2? It doesn't seem to actually be, what's the word, on. So if you could go back there and just press the on button on PC2 in the rack room, that would be fantabulous. Don't bother typing a response, I can't see it.
Fantabulous, Rick?
It would be, yes. It would be super.
Tubular.
So let's get to brass tacks here.
Yes.
So your claim, because my thing is that the Transformers, like the Hulk before it, is going to be so bad, so obviously bad, so patently terrible, that word will spread, and no one's going to, it's going to crash and burn after a quick couple of days. So your claim...
Mm-hmm.
Your claim is that it's going to make how much in how many days?
For the 5 day weekend, it's going to make $145 million.
For the 5 day weekend.
For the 5 day weekend.
Yeah, originally, you were saying, is it coming out on Wednesday?
It's coming out on Wednesday, so people are going to be looking at the 5 day total for 4th of July.
You're saying it's going to gross $145 million domestic in 5
yes,
days.
$145 million.
I don't think so.
I think with Spielberg behind it, the fact that it's giant exploding robots and everyone is just looking for sheer spectacle, there's going to be just enough sprinkle on this turd to convince everybody it's a cupcake.
Well, listen,
just enough.
My T-shirt right now is the reason why it's going to make so much money. I'm wearing an Autobots T-shirt right now. All the people my age who love the Transformers are going to go see this. Regardless of how terrible it looks,
even
they're
going
to go see it just to see how bad it is.
Mm-hmm. Even if they hate it, they're going to go see it because that's what a ticket is now for a lot of nerds and geeks. It's not just a movie.
It's my identity.
It's license to who I am. It's license to complain about it on the internet.
Yeah. I suppose that's true.
That's what it is. Like, I paid for the ticket, so I know what I'm talking about. So now here's 5 pages of vitriol on Michael Bay.
So you go home and write Moriarty a long screed about why he's wrong about
exactly.
Something.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you think? How much do you think it's going to make?
I don't think it's going to. Well, because your original thing was $100 million in 3 days.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much it's going to make, but I don't think it's going to make no $145 million in 5 days. Because I used to know how to do math. That's 20... What the hell is that? What is 145 divided by 5? I've turned it to Scotty. That's $30 million a day.
Yeah.
There's no way it'll do $30 million.
I think Wednesday night it'll do at least 35, if not 40. The Friday night it'll do another 40. And the Saturday night it'll probably do another
35. I don't think it'll break 125 in that 5 day period. There's no way. So the question is, all right, so what are we betting here?
We are betting this. We are betting, so this way, even if one of us loses,
we
all
still win. Are we betting on a movie that's not even out for another 3 months?
Yes, we are.
All right, fantastic.
It's all about the build up.
Yeah. Okay. This is the bet. The bet is if I win and I'm correct for like the next week. After Transformers open, the Rick Emerson Show is sponsored by Court and Fatboy. Or CourtandFatboy.com.
Yeah, CourtandFatboy.com.
All right, so let's now, Sarah, you have
Rick, how confident are you?
I think, here's the thing. I believe in the power of geeks, and when I say that, I believe in the power of the internet and the power of bad word of mouth distinction movie.
Sure.
No matter how strong the friend, I don't want to see it, and I grew up with Transformers, because I know it's going to be a piece, and it's going to be terrible. So I think the bad word of mouth, because there's no way it's a good movie. There is zero chance.
I've read the script. I've read the screenplay.
It's awful.
Yeah.
It's a horrible screenplay.
I mean, look at the Transformers themselves. There's no way that those could ever be toys. I mean, you can't transform that. It transforms from a truck into a big pile of poop.
Yeah, this is my explanation.
Transforming my childhood into a big pile of crap.
It's like a Bionicle 8, a box of razor blades, and crap. And that's what these Transformers look like.
Fantastic. All right. So this is the 5 day total for the Transformers film, whether or not it breaks 145.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So here's the deal. If the Transformers movie domestically grosses $145 million or more,
mm-hmm.
then the following 5 day work week, the Rick Emerson Show will be sponsored by the Court and Fatboy Show.
Yes.
All right.
And if we're wrong, then every time we say, like when Court will hop on at 7 p.m., oh, hell yeah, it's the Court and Fatboy Show, Sponsored by Rick Emerson, rickemerson.com, AM 970, Solid State Radio.
All right, Sarah, how do you feel about this?
I feel good. How confident do you feel? What are you saying that it'll make?
I don't. I'm saying it's going to make below 145.
Oh, so wait,
that's the whole thing. It's just whether or not it breaks 145.
So 145 is the cutoff.
145 million, 145 million. That's the cutoff. Whether it makes more or less than that in the 5 day opening period.
What if it makes exactly that?
Well, that or above. We'll do a showcase showdown style.
What if it's like really close? What if it's like 140?
No.
That's underneath my thing.
It's got to be one. That's got to be the absolute cutoff point. 145. All right, so there you go. So we'll make the bet on that.
Okay.
All right.
Done.
Fantastic. Right. Have you guys seen Grindhouse?
No, I'm going to go see it this weekend.
All right, excellent.
After I finish Seven and probably watch Sophie's Choice.
I was trying to, when you were making that joke earlier about Schindler's List, in my head, I was thinking of like, what's the next, how can I take this joke to the next level? Sophie's Choice, why didn't I think of that?
Yes.
Oh. I can't think of anything else.
Downloaded a loop off the internet of like a retard killing a kitten, like choking it out.
There you go.
Don't watch that for a half hour.
Hi.
Oh, that's horrible.
That's right.
I'd like to.
Has Scotty J. Dunn
really
top
just
by
sending a big hello to Mark Whalen and all the assembled CBS management listening to the Rick Emerson show.
They hear it on our show.
I know.
Oh, yes. That's the reason why they don't listen anymore.
What do you think they say as soon as our show comes on? It's like listening to retards kill kittens. Why do we have them on our airwaves? Has Scotty J. Dunn this top five Who songs yet? Is that?
No, we're gonna do that today.
Okay. I just want to preview for your audience.
It came from the brain of Scotty.
Your hair is going to fall out. You're not even gonna have a chance to pull it out. It's just going to fall out of your head in frustration. He is amazing.
Tim, you have to come over the table at him. When he starts reading these off...
Come over the table O'Reilly style.
Yes. Yes. You're wrong, Geraldo!
All fists and elbows.
All right.
I'll do that.
Court and Fatboy, 7 to midnight on Rock 101 KUFO. Stay there. Back after this is the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. What do we have here? Rick, I hope you have some sort of Hope-mobile-esque protective containment system for the mystery noise cable box that you're bringing to the listener party. I remember the apoplectic, I think is what he's trying to spell here. The apoplectic rage that sound brought to many in your audience, including me.
Apocalyptic?
The judges would also accept apocalyptic, yes. I would be wary of some sort of drunken Pavlovian response leading to a howler monkey-like beatdown on said machine. I'm just warning you. Now, we will have the mystery noise, the cable box that created the mystery noise. At Rick Emerson listener party.
Yeah, that's in your office.
It actually is. And let's see, where's the actual? Hold on a second. Let's see if you have the actual sound here. Hold on. No, damn it. Let's see. Do I have the actual mystery sound still, or did I get rid of it? Let's see. Oh, I think it's. Yeah, I don't know where it went. I don't know where the actual mystery sound went. I think I may have gotten rid of it. But we have the thing that created the mystery sound. That will be there. So that is coming up Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. So you want to be listening for that. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, at the Ministry of Truth, please make way for Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A convicted sex offender behind bars after he entered his Southeast Portland home with his pants down holding a knife. Apparently, this happened last May when Brandy Anderson said she left your door open on a warm spring day. Don't do it. The intruder just snuck right in.
Yeah.
She turned around to see a man with his... this is rather graphic, but I'm just reading as the story says here. He had his pants down, wearing a condom and holding a knife.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, apparently they found him sitting on the park bench with his girlfriend.
His girlfriend. Why do they always have a girlfriend?
They always do. A bench outside of Albertson's grocery store, of all people.
He's a good man!
33-year-old Ronald Price has been arrested.
So,
he was sentenced to 6 years in prison.
But, I mean, so then that was just an attempted assault? Or
yes,
was he actually
attempted.
So, but, I mean, what? I don't understand. So, did she fight him off or something?
Let's see here. The woman said her two girls began to scream, which caused the man to run out the door.
All right. Well, there you go. And so he's been found guilty?
Yes.
He's being sent to prison?
Yes.
Fantastic. Let's hope for a savage beating. Well done.
Meanwhile, Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney is taking a second shot at describing his hunting experience. Now, he called himself a lifelong hunter, but we found out he's only been hunting two times in his life. Once when he was 15, the other just last year. He says, I'm not a big game hunter. I made that clear. I've always been a rodent and rabbit hunter, a small varmint, if you will. And apparently he joined the National Rifle Association last August as a lifetime member.
Uh-huh. Well, that can't in any way be seen as just a political maneuvering. And by the way, if you're from Massachusetts, you can't use the word varmint. It doesn't make you sound like a southerner. It just makes you sound like a nitwit.
Well, apparently, it works. Hungarian families now have the option of renting Easter bunnies to give to their children. And a move in an effort to cut down the number of rabbits abandoned or eaten following the holiday. It's a long bit of Hungarian tradition that children be given live rabbits for Easter. The managing director of the Hungarian Rabbit Product Council says in the past it's been more useful for families to just imagine, well, abandoning the furry friend or just eating them. So you have two choices here.
That's for me.
If people rent them, that's a new welcome development. That, according to the managing director, I guess they're looking for a permanent one, of the Hungarian Rabbit Product Council,
okay,
of which there are many.
A rabbit a week is all we ask. I've got this, that's a Blue Diamond almond joke there. I've got the, let's see, this is, I've got this sound from Jim Roop, who was not able to join us on the phone today, but this is the thing where, let me read the CNN lead in the way they've written this now. This is... Adopting bunnies is an Easter tradition of sorts, but CNN's Jim Roop decides to put a twist on that tradition. Oh, and of course, now it doesn't want to fire. Hold on a second. It's flawless. This is the best day ever. All right, so CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop putting a twist on that tradition.
When you say bunny to me, I think of only one place.
Yes, you found a play with Manchester. Yeah. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm following up on a story that people are adopting bunnies for Easter.
Adopting bunnies for Easter. Adopting Playboy bunnies, you say?
Well, the story just said adopting bunnies. See, I got a van here, so any size would be okay. I can adopt. I'm prepared to take one home now.
As far as adopting bunnies, I haven't heard anything like that.
Then you don't think it's Playboy bunnies this story was talking about?
Oh, Jim.
Probably not.
Yeah, neither did I, but it was worth a shot. Jim Roop, CNN.
Was he calling KGW? I'm sorry, can't help you. Go away. There's a second cut here. Let's see, what does the second cut say? The second cut says, many people adopt little bunnies at Easter, so CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop tries adopting one, but this, I wonder if Laura Caviezel writes these, but this is a different kind of bunny.
I went to a different kind of establishment to try and adopt a different kind of bunny.
This is the Playboy Mansion, right?
Yes, you found the Playboy Mansion.
I told the security guard that at Easter time, people adopt bunnies.
Yeah, I was wondering if Mr. Hefner is involved in that.
As far as adopting bunnies, I haven't heard anything like that.
Can I look around to see if there would be one I'd like to adopt?
Sure, if you go to www.playboy.com, you can have a full view of this month's playmate.
I'm not getting in.
We can all dream, can't we?
Yeah, we can all dream.
Jim Roop, CNN.
He's all bitter at the end. And at the end,
I love that guy.
He's just all sullen and disappointed. I'm going to go home and drink. Except that he went to church. How great that he then spent the rest of the day worshiping at the church of his choice. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. How sad.
Pit bulls are still welcome in the coastal city of Bandon. Councilman Mike Klassen's proposal to ban pit bulls and other similar breeds didn't find much support from Mayor Mary Shamehorn.
Shamehorn.
Yep, Mary Shamehorn.
You have to take a beating with the Shamehorn, little boy.
Scores of residents who attended this week's council meeting also objected. Shamehorn asked them whether they supported the pit bull ban.
Have you been touching your Shamehorn again?
And only one man raised his hand. Klassen has received about 20 angry phone calls. 2 to 3 people have supported him. The council removed the issue from the agenda without taking public comments.
Father, it's been 3 weeks since my last confession. Lately, I've been touching my shame horn a lot.
All right. That's fast. Going to keep doing that all the time. Okay. Let's do one more, and then we'll roll the top five for today.
All right. So remember that that kid from Tigard who got killed after he went crazy and all the parents and all the townspeople objected?
I was just thinking about him the other day, actually.
They used this picture of him when he was, like, 10 years old.
Totally, when he was on the, like, clutching.
Blue eyes.
Clutching a football and, like, you know, posing in front of a goalpost somewhere.
Yeah.
So people really objected to shooting a white person, basically is what it came down to.
Course.
And the report released concludes the fatal shooting of teenager Lucas Glenn was justified. So there. He was killed by two Washington County Sheriff's deputies outside his home. This after his mother called 911. She's the one that called, saying her son was intoxicated and threatening the family with a knife. So the deputy shot the kid after a Tigard police officer fired 6 beanbag rounds at him but failed to stop him. And Sheriff Rob Gordon called the death a tragedy, but said the review concludes it was justified. He was a place kicker for the Tigard High School football team, therefore he should have been shot. His mother, Hope Glenn, is a soccer coach. The death rocked the Tigard community and raised questions about deadly force against white people. The Glenn family filed a notice to sue the county, the city, and officers. But they were doing their jobs.
Well, they
as it should have been.
The police noted that he had it coming. Did they not?
Right.
All right. Well, we have a little something for that, actually. Sarah, is my computer up? We do have a little something because it was ruled that he did, in fact, am I correct about this, Tim, that he did, in fact, need killing?
Yes.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to take a moment here on the Rick Emerson Show to express our thoughts on that.
AM 970 Solid State Radio and the Rick Emerson Show would like to take this opportunity to salute Portland's own Boys in Blue. We know that being a police officer is often dirty, thankless, dangerous work, and that too often your only portrayal in the media is one of corruption and vice. That's why in times like this and days like today, we pause to commend you for getting right, for cleaning the gene pool, taking out the trash, and killing someone who clearly needed killing. You've made this world just a little bit better, and the average IQ just a little bit higher. For no matter if you're black or white, gay or straight, atheist, Christian or Jew, we can all agree that that guy had it coming, and the world's better off without him. So, for killing someone who clearly needed killing, Portland Police, the Rick Emerson Show salutes you.
There you go. 503-733-2970. Let's do one more, and then we'll welcome Scotty Jagan for the top five.
My goodness, I don't think I have one more.
Are we exhausted? Have we exhausted?
Well, we had a longer than usual news hour.
No, that is
so
true.
I only prepared the amount that we usually use.
No, that's a fair point. All
so
right.
We're 14 minutes short of material. I don't know what to say,
really?
Except I'm sorry.
Is it? Is that? But there's like a stack of watches, like 3 inches deep.
They're over on your side, I believe.
Oh, did I not give you the news?
You gave me nothing.
Oh.
Rick Emerson.
Look at this. All right, look, there's like an inch of news here. I'm sorry, that's my fault. Let's take this call and then we'll do the top five. I'm sorry, I've got the big... Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
What's up?
Not much. Hey, I wonder if Fat Boy took into consideration in the summer Harry Potter's coming out at the same time.
No, that's true. Harry Potter isn't coming out that day, though. The Transformers comes out on Wednesday. That Harry Potter comes out 5-6 on Saturday, I think.
Yeah, but I think Harry Potter will crush everything that it's going up against.
Oh, you're talking about the Harry Potter movie. I'm talking about
the
book.
No, the movie.
Is Harry Potter coming out that... It's not coming out that week, is it?
I think so.
Oh, sure.
The Rick Emerson Show brought to you by Courtney Fatboy.
Totally.
Oh, wait, no, it's reverse.
In his face. All right.
Because that's what I'm thinking, because it's going to crush everything else.
All right. Excellent.
It's the Order of the Phoenix.
No, that's totally true. If the new Harry Potter film is out at the same time, you're right. It's absolutely going to destroy that Transformers film.
That's right.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
That's Frank.
All right. Well done, Frank.
Thank you.
All right, let's, where the hell is my, with the whole thing?
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please, summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Scotty J, our intrepid PA. Hello, sir.
How's it going?
Scotty.
Hi, how are you? Is it a happy day?
Scotty's hungover.
It's an awesome day. It's beautiful outside. I can't wait to go hit the links.
Sausage links? What are they?
That no, he does like good. Sausage.
When they say, I can't wait to go hit the shame horn.
I give you my extra sausages when I don't eat them all.
Now,
don't I?
Oh, hold on. While I'm thinking about it, Tim, I'm sorry. Here's the news pile that I didn't get to. These are all, there we go. Let me have these two.
Well, I can use other material like it since we're now doing news during the Tom Likas show.
That's true. Tim Riley now heard at the top of the 4, 5, and 6 o'clock hours. And 7 o'clock hours right here on the show. All right. So this is non
These are watches. This is non-watch news.
I'm sorry, that's
thank you very much.
Underprepared.
Well, I know that.
Sorry about
not
these
a problem
things
at all.
Okay.
We don't care.
All right.
Yes, it's at 4, 5, 6, and 7 p.m. Now, straight up, you can now hear Tim Riley doing his news immediately
awesome.
Preceding each hour of the Tom Likas show or the 4, 5, and 6 o'clock hours, and then also Donna Mike. So ye need not cry. Ye need not weep when 3 o'clock comes around, because that is not the end of the Tim Riley news experience for the day. Tim Riley at the top of the hour, 4, 5, 6, and 7 o'clock following this program. Hi, Scotty. What does hitting the links mean?
Just go out to the golf course.
Well, what are the links you're referring to?
Just go golfing.
But I know what. Okay, but what links?
What links? What do you mean?
You're gonna hit the links. What links?
Well, I'm gonna go to a golf course.
I know.
By yourself?
It's just a saying.
But what does it mean?
It means you're gonna go hit the golf course.
I know, but I'm saying
the links are. I'm thinking it's the fairway.
I don't know. You don't know, dude.
I never really thought about it. It just makes sense to me. A lot of things make sense to me that I can't explain.
would you like to give us any other examples?
I understood everything while I was in college, but if I have to tell you what I learned, I really don't know.
It's all just falling out of your head.
It's a fog.
All right. By the way, we'd like to tell you that the most downloaded and listened to audio segment at 970.am is the Scotty J. versus Lucy Reynolds Spelling Bee. That is actually the single most downloaded file on 970.am, more so than podcasts of this show, which are up every single day now. And Scotty does pitch in with that, so thank you so much for that. So if you've been trying to find a higher quality podcast of the show, or because the listener's been doing podcasts, sometimes the site gets busy or the download can be a little slow. There's podcasts of this show, the Rick Emerson Show, available every day now, following our broadcast at 970.am. So, all right. So, yeah, but you can also hear the Scotty J. Spelling Bee. Did Tim leave?
I don't know. He might be collecting some more news or something.
He might be off to commercials. All right. In any event, it's time, ladies and gentlemen, for your top five for
five,
Friday on the Rick Emerson
four,
Show.
4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting is the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, in the stead of Tim Riley, we will have Scotty J. present today's top five. Scotty, you put the top five together. We were going to do it while you were gone, but it didn't seem right.
Oh, okay.
It didn't seem right to do this while you were on vacation, as they say. So,
I realize you've been waiting to hear the best of The Who all day.
Because these are the top five Who songs.
Yes. Maybe you've thought of some Who songs in your head. I don't know.
Are these really songs by the band The Who, Scotty?
No.
Why, you trickster, you? What really is this top? What is this top five, actually?
The top five songs with Who in them.
What do you
in
mean?
In the title? Guess,
who?
Kind of in the title, in the song, whatever.
Okay. Who? These are the top five songs with Who in the title, according to you, Scotty J.
All right. So number six, the honorable mention, goes to The Who. Who are you?
What? Do I have it?
Oh, no, this is me. Oh, I'm sorry. This is me.
Nice. BFI, anyone?
So The Who actually made it into The Who songs as an honorable mention.
Share your thoughts on this song, Scotty.
It makes me think of CSI, that's for sure.
Okay, that observation's already been made. You know, this is the Scotty J. Show is never going to be a ratings hit if you can't make more observations.
It'll never come to fruition. And no, don't make me spell that. I can't.
Can you spell fruition?
No, I can't. I just said I can.
Give it a try. Fruition.
Well, here's the tough part. If it was a PH or an F. I'm going to say F. So far, F. R. U. I. S. Because it could be a T for the shun, but okay, S, I-O-N.
No. Thanks. Thanks for that.
Well, what, how do you spell it?
Scotty, I can't just tell you how things are... This is like your claim that spell check is responsible for your lack of ability to spell.
It's true, because if I was in front of a computer right now, I didn't...
All right, let's move on to number five before it becomes profane.
Number five, Toby Keith, Who's Your Daddy?
Really? Are you making me play Toby Keith on this program?
It was funny at the time.
Were you drunk?
Yeah, I was, actually. Yeah, but Who's Your Daddy? I mean, that's kind of fun.
Okay.
I dedicate this one to you, Sarah.
Please don't ever do that again. Why are you doing this to us? Why did you create a top five that has Toby Keith in it?
I probably should have cut right to the chorus part.
You think? You know, we used to work right next door to KUPL, and as much as I love those guys, I really do. I love the people who work at KUPL. I was so happy that I was never going to have to hear modern country music ever again.
I know.
Well, you like Taylor Swift, right?
I really don't. I
just like stalking
her. I just enjoy crouching outside the bathroom while she's inside. I'm sorry, crouching down outside the door. Yeah.
I'm going to make my own dictionary, by the way.
The Scotty J dictionary.
Spell the Scotty J way.
Okay, can we move on?
Where's the chorus here? Here it comes.
Spell chorus.
C-H-O-R-U-S.
Very good, Scotty. Well done. You're one for two. All right, let's move on. These are the top five cool songs, according to Scotty J.
Number five song is by a band called Everything. Hooch. Who got the hooch?
Who got the what?
Who got the hooch?
Yeah. Do you guys know this song?
No.
You guys should know this song. I think you even played it when you were over here.
Are these all clean?
Yes, they are.
Because you put that Who song in there, and that's not clean.
Are you sure?
This is awful.
The Who song has the F word in it.
I'm surprised you don't know this. I think you played this, actually, when you were over here at the move-in station temporarily before we moved here.
What's the name
when you were grabbing cards and stuff.
What is this band called?
Everything.
Are you kidding me?
You think I played this?
Yeah, I remember you were playing all that 80s stuff.
What is
this? This really is a terrible top five.
Thank you. At least you're zen with it.
Out.
Let me ask you this. In the context of this song, what is hooch?
I just say...
I'm asking seriously. I'm not trying to set you up. I'm asking in the context of the song.
I think he's singing about a chick, right? And that she's got the hooch.
What is the hooch?
Which means she looks, you know, spectacular.
I don't think that means what you think it means. Look, here's the thing.
I know what it could mean.
I only have two understandings of this. One is that it's a beer gut, and the other is that it's alcohol. Where I come from, that's...
I think it's about saying that this chick looks really good.
If somebody...
Are you calling her a hooch?
In my neighborhood.
She's got the hooch. In other words, I can picture her like in a short...
Is that like having back?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just saying, where I'm from, not to sound all New York about it, but in my neighborhood, if you said who had the hooch, that's who has the booze. It's alcohol.
Yeah.
It's like who has the liquor.
Hooch is alcohol.
Like, look, you guys, you got the freshy. You got the sweetest thing in the world.
Are you really talking this way on the air?
He's either got sweet alcohol.
Freshy?
Yeah, so I think she looks good. That's what the deal is. Or they're really thirsty.
This is just nonsense, and I'm starting this again in the beginning so I can point this out. That this song, by the way, both tonally, production-wise, and in terms of the melody of the chorus, is like a flat-out steal of a song by Peter Gabriel called Shaking the Tree.
And what year was that, though? I mean, was it before?
Shaking the Tree's from 1988.
Okay.
So anybody who's a Peter Gabriel fan knows what I'm talking about. This is a flat-out steal of the song Shaking the Tree by Peter Gabriel. It's like, this is like Peter Gabriel as done by Sublime. No, it's actually like... This is totally Shaking the Tree. This is Peter Gabriel singing a Sublime song, basically.
I can't remember if this is 80s or 90s.
It's terrible.
Okay, let's move on.
Let's move on. These are the top five cool songs from Scotty J.
The number three song goes to Oingo Boingo.
I wish I was dead. I can't wait for this to be over.
Who do you want to be?
I want to be somebody else. I want to be a guy who's in another building away from you and this music. That's who I want to be. I want to be somebody who was born deaf.
Well, these are the top five Who songs, so, you know.
Now, 34 years without having heard this.
Now, he does a lot of work.
Is this Queen, Scotty J?
Yeah. He does a lot of work now behind the scenes with movie scores, this guy.
What's his name?
I can't believe I can't remember that. Elfman, Danny Elfman.
How do you spell Oingo Boingo?
O-I-N-G-O. That's right. Spelled it right.
B-O-I-N-G-O.
Very good. Oh, can I please be done with whatever this is? The most hideous thing I've ever heard, this song.
It sounds like a ska song that's going 10 times too fast.
It sounds like a ska song in some carnival funhouse, like a bunch of clowns playing ska music. All right, let's be done with this.
Okay, number two song goes to Men at Work.
Ugh.
I mean, obviously, this is a top five Who song.
This is the worst.
I mean, if you were to think
five.
Of Who songs that weren't the Who.
I hate this song. I hate this song so much.
I wonder why
you saxophone line right there.
I actually like those guys.
I don't know anything else by these guys. What else did they do? Did they do the safety dance?
No, that was Men.
That's a great song. That's a different song. That's not by these guys. That song, that totally different song, that was great.
This particular album that this song came on has about five hits.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
Give me another hit.
What's the name of this album?
I don't know why I can't think of any right now. But I don't know.
Give me another hit by Men at Work.
1983 or 4 was when this came out.
That's the name of the hit?
This is, I hate the 80s. The 80s were such a terrible era.
Now, when you were over here on that one day testing out the studio, you guys were loving the 80s.
Well, we were playing some 80s rock, though, which I'm a little bit more tolerant of because that was a lot of what I listened to.
Okay.
I just, pop music in the 80s was not very good, in my opinion. I think pop music of the last 10 years is way better than the pop music from the 80s. As much as I'm not really, like, in the demographic, like, stuff by people can laugh, but the music by, like, NSYNC, you know, or Britney Spears is so much better than pop music was in the 80s, in my opinion. I would take, strictly musically, I would take an NSYNC song over this any day. Any day.
All right,
so much better.
Let's move on to the number one.
Please, can we please?
Now, this one might be up your alley a little bit. This one's by a band called Zebra. The number one song, Who's Behind the Door? Have you heard of these guys before?
Yeah, this is like a KGON style band, I think. Isn't this like a classic rock thing?
I don't know if
this is classic.
No, this song's a good one, actually. Out of the whole thing, I'll throw the entire Who top five away and take this song. This one's a good one.
Okay, this is, by the way, this is completely stolen from...
This is
stolen from a song called That's the Way by Led Zeppelin. Totally, That's the Way. These songs are all stolen from other songs, Scotty.
Stolen Who songs.
Hey, let's go back to the talking about the saxophone for a second.
These lyrics are amazing.
Oh, we never even got to the chorus.
Okay, but listen to the saxophone for a second. How is it, and I mean this is a serious question, how is it that such a soulful instrument, an instrument that has its roots in...
It's grating. It's like...
But it's not just that it's grating. It's that, like... I got to turn this off. Let's think about the saxophone. I got to listen to something else while we talk about that. You think about the saxophone. Whatever anybody thinks about the saxophone. The saxophone has its roots in jazz. It has its roots in swing and big band. It's a very soulful instrument. Am I alone in thinking this, though, that the saxophone has become one of the whitest instruments on earth? Like, when you hear when you hear a saxophone now, it's invariably inside some incredibly white piece of pop music. It's like inside a Michael Bolton song. And it's very 80s. It's for something that has, again, it's just a classically jazz-oriented, very soulful instrument. And very, you know, frankly, a very black instrument in many ways. And now it is just entirely associated with terrible, terrible pop music made by white people. I don't know why that is. All right, we have to break now. We have to be back. The break, we'll come back with Tim Riley around the corner at the Ministry of Truth and Aaron Geek in the City of Duran. You stay there. Don't go anywhere.